Welcome back to another episode of the Balcony Chatter Podcast. I am your host, Andrew McKenney, with my co-host, Tim Taylor.
Yeah, boy!
And also, Flavor Flav is on the episode this week, so...
Yeah, boy!
Dude, you have Samsung TV?
No, I have a Google TV.
All right, so the Samsung TV has like thousands of channels that no one asked for, and one of them...
Wait, I do. The Rock of Love channel, or the Flavor of Love?
There's just a Flavor of Love channel.
Yeah, dude. I've spent time watching that. I spent time watching Rock of Love with Brett Michaels. Some great shows.
I was doing a lot of those like junk diver type shows where the guys will like go to people's houses and like try to get their stuff for cheap and resell it or whatever.
Oh, yeah.
And then they just like wasted this old guy's time. And like it was these two like kind of asshole guys. And they're in the Talking Heads. They're like, sometimes you really like wear out the customer and bum them out. And we should have been nicer to his time. And it's like, you guys are such assholes. My God. So now anytime my PlayStation gets shut off or the Roku shits out or whatever happens, I get put right to Flavor Love channel.
It's not even like those other, like what you were just saying, those other shows, they're all like that. You watch Pawn Stars and they're like, we'll give you $4. It's like they're going into GameStop every time. Give me $4 for this $1,000 thing.
It's funny. That was this channel we got on first. Or no, that was the channel we got on later. And Megan was just like, it bothers me though, because it's scripted. They already know what they're going to offer and say yes to.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Which then immediately ruined it for me too.
My favorite. So I downloaded a bunch of those free like TV channel apps. So there's Pluto TV. There's a bunch of those ones like that. I've spent countless hours watching.
Pluto's great.
Yeah, watching my favorite game show of all time, Deal or No Deal.
I'm so sorry for anyone who is ready to get right into hockey and basketball, but now that you brought up Deal or No Deal, we're gonna have to double down. Are you familiar with what's coming out at the end of February?
Oh, do you mean Deal or No Deal Island?
You know I mean Deal or No Deal Island, dude.
I am very excited. Very, very
Boston
excited.
Boston Rob's back here. We'll tie it in. Boston Rob of Survivor infamy, of Survivor champion.
Did you watch the preview?
Yeah.
So
I watched a long, I don't know if it was the
So
preview.
They put out like a 30 really minute long preview from episode or whatever. Yeah, yeah, you got to watch it. It's great.
Okay, no.
He's already going to be the villain of the whole thing. I mean, he knows
how. You can tell that. I watched like a 5 minute promo and that was clear.
That's just his thing. Like he needs to be that guy in those shows. Like and he's good at it.
Well, he also thinks that's his advantage, is that because he's not up against a bunch of other villains that I know of. Maybe he is, but the other thing we started, and I promise you we'll get to sports right after, only started it, the Squid Game reality show.
You watched it?
I started it. I'm kind of into it.
Okay.
Daniel, my roommate, friend of the pod, just can't, on principle, like it because it's not going to be as good as the show. No one's trying to make it as good as the show.
No.
No one's going to say it's as good as the show.
No.
And yeah, they're not going to shoot people dead. So I don't
know. Like, no, but it's fun. Yeah. It's fun to watch. And
I thought it was fun. I got like halfway into the first episode and we had to shut it off for him, honestly. But I was laughing. At one point, they were introducing a character who then gets killed. Like they're letting them do the voiceover. And as soon as they got killed, they stopped the voiceover. I thought it was great.
Dude. One thing I'll say about that show, because I've watched the whole thing, you'll be watching it. You'll be like, whatever, four episodes in. I don't know if it's 10 episodes. I can't remember. But you'll
it
be
is.
Like,
it's 10, yeah.
You'll be like five episodes in, and you'll be like, I have never seen that person ever, and they're doing a talking head, or they're just like a person. I'm like, I'm 5 hours into this show, and I've never seen this person before.
That's kind of, I guess it's not that crazy, but like, you know, the first one goes down almost as much as the show. Like Red Light, Green Light hacks off just 10 less than the scripted show did.
Yeah.
Like 187, it's 197 in the reality show. Interesting. Yeah, no, I'm in on it. I'm in on that.
It's fun.
But I'm so in on Deal or No Deal Island. I'm so happy you just told me there's a preview. That's great.
Oh my God, yeah. So I watched it and then I was like, I wonder when the real show comes out. And it's like, another month. It was like a month and a half from when I actually watched the thing. I was like, this is crazy. But
that feels like a great, like right after the Super Bowl thing, but it must not be the same network type deal. But if it is the same network, what is that?
I love Howie Mandel. He is not in, he is a producer on this time.
Yeah. Germaphobe Howie Mandel wouldn't be caught dead in a Pacific Island, but
it's Joe Manganiello.
I know, it looks great. I think Joe will be great.
I'm excited. It is my favorite game show of all time, which people have given me a hard time for because it's a game of chance, but like...
No, it's a game of chance, but there's negotiation involved. It's fun. No, I'm team Deal or No Deal. I'm with you.
Love it.
Mom was a big Deal or No Deal fan. Sucked me right in.
I spent so many hours watching it. I think I've probably seen every single episode that's ever been on TV so far.
That's crazy. Like, was there ever a guest host?
They've had guests like on the show.
Right, but like, they never. But it's every episode you've seen is a Howie Mandel.
Yeah,
hosted.
as far as I know. Until you start getting into really getting deep into Deal or No Deal and you start watching the ones from different countries.
Yeah.
But I don't have a problem. It's fine.
No. We'll get into that next episode.
Yeah. Well, I don't know, man. It's hard because the Bruins don't have any games this week, so we don't have a lot of stuff to preview for this episode. Celtics,
not preview, but we got some recap.
We
this
do.
Our
we
last
have some
week. Next week will be really sad about hockey. I mean, unless we have the most fun watching the NHL All-Star game.
I highly doubt that.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, we can talk about the games that we have had recently, which Bruins are still looking pretty good. I am happy with the way the team went into the break here. I would imagine that they're pretty happy with it as well.
Hard to have notes on a 6-2 win with 4 goals in the first period.
I'd say that's pretty good.
I think that's good. I asked everyone I knew, and they all were like, yeah. So,
you know what's funny, too, is Philly, up until recently, is a good team. You know, they're in a playoff spot, or they were in a playoff spot. I don't know if they still are. But they went on a losing streak. It was like 4 or 5 games. But before that, they had won 5 straight. You know, they were really coming around. So that was a good game to win. And obviously, original 6 team, it's always fun to beat. And,
yeah. And, you know, Philly's scrappy, man. I know they're not like a dominant, they're not a threat in the standings, but I think any game that Philadelphia plays, they're a threat.
Yeah. And
not
I
a
think
team you can look past.
The one that bothers me is the Carolina game recently that we lost.
Yeah.
Because we could have at the very least, salvaged a point out of that game. If not,
if maybe one other guy showed up, but instead just the captain.
Yeah.
Who, I'm sorry. I just want to reiterate a couple things on the podcast today. This is my main Bruins one. We'll get to the Celtics ones later. Brad Marchand is the captain of the Boston Bruins for a reason. And he was the guy to pick. And I don't think that that's even a conversation anymore.
As
personally.
You're saying this, I'm looking up the stats that he has this year. Because I think that a lot of people, myself included, I'm sure that you probably had your doubts as well. With Patrice Bergeron leaving, we have always kind of felt that that was sort of his, I don't want to call it a security blanket, because he's a great player. He's an amazing player, and he has been since he's been in this league. But he's had down years here and there, you know, pretty rare.
To say it another way, too, I think we credit a lot of the stats that Marchand's had with Patrice, right?
Sure.
Like maybe he's not the 20-goal guy. Oh, wait, sorry. Yeah, he is. And
so,
it's before February.
So 49 games into the season, we're officially, I mean, we're calling this unofficially the halfway point of the season because we're at the All-Star break.
It's the All-Star break,
so we're basically halfway through.
Us and everyone else.
A little bit more.
Mm-hmm.
Marchand has 24 goals, 23
Unreal.
Assists,
yeah,
47 points. So
where's that put him in the league?
That I'll have to look after this, but
I'll check. Yeah.
But we're talking like there is a real possibility here that he's going to have 40 goals and 100 points. And to me, like that is something that he's obviously capable of doing and he is on the pace to do so. But to me, that is an outstanding season for him, knowing that he is still sort of like last year he wasn't himself after the surgeries. And taking on that leadership role and taking over for Bergeron and not having Bergeron out there. It's just, he's having an outstanding year. And even if he just scores 30 goals, I'll be happy for him.
Yeah. But I mean, six more feels,
I think
really,
he's going to blow past that.
Feels pretty easy. Yeah. I think I'd be pretty dumbfounded. It'd be a weird, sad occurrence if he didn't get 6 goals. I think it'd be weird if he didn't have 6 goals by March 1st. He's 32nd with 47 points. There's this guy in third place named David Pasternak with 72. I don't know.
Hmm.
Well, yeah, that's your Bruins in the top 35. And then I don't think, yeah, we don't have anyone else in the top 50. But is that good?
I would say it is definitely good. But it's also, we should also say that David Pastrnak is obviously having a tremendous year too, because this is what we expected from him. But right now, 33 goals, 72 points. He's playing very, very well.
Yeah. I mean, and then Marchand essentially two games off of a point a game pace.
That's pretty good.
Yeah. I mean, you can't be mad at it.
And I'm super happy for him that he's having a good year, especially because he's about to come up here on his 1,000 games. So he is currently sitting at 996. Four more games till he hits 1,000. And he is almost a point, well, I shouldn't say almost a point per game, but 909 in his career, over 996 games. That's damn good.
Yeah, it's insane.
And for people to not think that he's going to be a Hall of Famer, I think those are the people that just don't like him.
All right, so but what's weird to me is that I feel like 2 years ago when Bergeron was still on the team, everyone was like, less people were saying he's not a Hall of Famer. I don't know if people weren't involved in the conversation or what, but so many people were just like, yeah, obviously Marchand's going to be, he's on pace to be a Hall of Famer. He's going to be a Hall of Famer. Last year, I felt the same thing. This year, with him alone being the captain, I don't know if more people are involved in the conversation, but it feels like more of a debate. Whereas, literally over the last couple of years, I feel like it was more of a surefire thing. And now with the 20-goal streak, there's a lot of people in the Hall of Fame who don't have that.
Yeah, I think that it was what? He just broke the record 11 consecutive years as a Bruin or scoring 20 plus.
The Bruins record, I think. Yeah. But you know, yeah. How is it a discussion now? It's at the point, I remember when it was, I don't know, it feels like the GOAT conversation with Brady, you know? In a sense, Brady reached a certain amount of wins and he was no one talked about him. First of all, the Peyton Manning discussion fell off, and then the Joe Montana one faded away as he got the last one here, and then it was super gone by the time he got the last one with the Buccaneers. I feel it's just similar with the Hall of Fame discussion with Marchand. How on earth is there even an argument that he's not a Hall of Famer? I don't understand that. Even if you want to credit Bergeron, I don't know. There's nothing you can do to take away his statistics, and there's nothing you can do to say he only had these stats because of this guy.
And not just that, but looking at his what he's accomplished internationally as well. If you're talking, I know that we're talking about the Hockey Hall of Fame. It's not the NHL Hall of Fame. What he's done for in his NHL career and what he's done in international play as well should be more than enough to get him in, and his career's not even over. So we'll see where it ends up, but you know, there's no world that he doesn't make the Hall of Fame and his number is hanging in the rafters in the Garden. You know, he is one of those players that has, I see him going the Bergeron route. This is the only team that he's going to play for. I don't think that you'll ever see him in another jersey, and if you do, I think that would be very surprising to me.
Obviously, no, I don't think so, especially with the C now.
Chara was different because he had already played in other places before, and I think that's probably what led him to want to continue playing, go somewhere else. But Marchand, I think that this is where he wants to be known for.
I remember in 2009 having tickets to an Atlanta Thrashers Bruins game, and I was 7 rows back from the blue line, which that's when I discovered that it kind of sucks to sit that close because you can only see your end of the ice.
Yeah.
But it was amazing. And I remember this 63 in front of me and being like, who the hell is this guy? And I don't even think it was his technical rookie year. That was the year before his rookie year. It was just when he would get called up to play some games. And he quickly made a name for himself. He quickly was a number you remembered if you didn't remember his name. And even in those pull up years, we haven't really had, I feel like we haven't had a guy come through the system in such a way since, not even a fraction of it really. a lot of our studs come right to the pros. Like, you know, like even like your DeBrusks, it doesn't feel like he was a Providence Bruin for very long.
Yeah.
Even if he even was, I don't even remember.
He played some down there, but like Pasta.
Obviously you played games, but like Marshawn was a guy who was playing for Providence and got called up for 10 games in that year. And then his rookie year was the following year, which I think it's cool that the NHL does that. Your rookie year doesn't necessarily start when you start in the NHL.
Yeah.
It starts like after, I think it is like you got to play more than 10 games or something like that. It'd be weird. I think it'd be something he wouldn't be interested in. But I guess at this point it just comes down to like, will they let him be the captain until he's done?
It would have to be one of those scenarios where it's like, this is the end for me. If I'm going to go somewhere else, it's going to be like, I'm going to the team that is expected to win the cup. Give me one more shot at it. That's the only way that I see him.
Like Ray Bourque.
Something. Yeah.
Like a Ray Bourque-ish, like a jumbo kind of.
A rental. A rental for a team that is like already stacked.
Mm-hmm.
I hope it doesn't happen.
To be honest, me too. But if that was the case, I like to think if I didn't think we had a shot and I wanted him to, I would want him to win a cup.
Sure. That's how you feel about all those guys that like, I would have offed myself if Bergeron went to another team, even if it was for him trying to win another cup, you know, but
you're right. The Chara part never hurt,
but I still would have rooted for him 100% to win that cup because there would have been no way that he ever would have left the Bruins if they were in a position to win the cup. You know what I mean? Like,
yeah.
So I would be rooting for him 1,000% unless he was in Toronto. But
yeah, I don't know. That one's tough for me because, you know, that one I can get a pass with Toronto. I wouldn't root for him.
Oof. You'd be rooting for him, not the team. That's what it comes down to.
I don't think I'd even root for him. I'd be happy for him if it worked out.
Yeah.
But, you know, that's his childhood favorite team. As we've all seen the viral clip when he goes, the Toronto Maple Leafs.
No, Bergeron. Not Bergeron. What? That's Marchand. Marchand's favorite team.
Oh, sorry. I was talking Marchand. Yeah, my bad.
Yeah.
Bergeron. I don't think I could really root for Bergeron anywhere.
Yeah.
Especially because right now we're still poised to be very successful. And Bergeron, we're in that 3-year window. Marchand's 35. Maybe it's a sooner exit than a later one. But, you know, I hypothetically, there's a world where he's still a serviceable guy at 38, 39, maybe even 40.
Sure.
So you know, the hypothetical of then, sure, go to a team like the Toronto Maple Leafs and best of luck to you. I don't hate you, but.
I know we've talked about this in the past, but like since Marcus Smart is gone, I believe at this point that Brad Marchand is the longest tenured Boston athlete. He has to be, right? Like all the Red Sox guys are gone.
I don't know who would be close at this point.
Yeah, I mean,
well, and also he was longer than Marcus anyway.
Oh, he was. Yeah,
Marcus was 14.
So even still, like, I find it so, it would be very weird if he were to leave, and I don't see it happening. But, you know, I think if they lessened his role down the road and he was just a guy kind of similar to like Bergeron took a hometown discount at the very end there to try to make the team better, to try to, you know, win a cup, I see that that's probably something that Marchand would think about doing as well. I don't know that he's a real, like, everybody wants to get their money. But I don't know if he's, like, about the money, you know? And it's going to be so weird for us. It's really, truly going to be the end of an era for us, me and you, you know? Like, Brady's gone. Ortiz is gone. Bergeron's gone. Chara's gone. Like, all these big guys that were part of our real, true...
Well, even just keep it in black and gold. I mean, it's just, like, we fell in love with this team with, you know, a little before Marchand, but, like, that was in step with it, you know?
Right.
It was the 4 years leading up to winning the cup,
right?
Which is when we, you know, when it was 14 to 16, just like so in on hockey, and like we were finally fun for the first time in a while since we'd lost like Jumbo and Samsonov and Allison and all those guys. Finally, like a fun team to watch, and it stuck with us. And then we actually were able to ramp up into, you know, obviously that cup team. And then it was game over. Like it'll be weird even if we manage to bridge that and stay at a top team, because it's still going to be the end of an era.
No, I just think like for thinking about who I grew up watching, all of those guys are gone now, and Marchand's basically the end of it. You know, because Krejci's gone and Bergeron and Chara and all these
and Krejci,
guys.
Even when he came back, like that felt like the end of the era when he left.
Yeah.
Because it wasn't like, oh, he's back for a bunch of years. Like, right. You know.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
It's weird. It's definitely going to be weird whenever that day does come. And I hope it's a long time from now. I hope we get another 5 years out of him and he goes to 40, but we'll see. The way that he's playing now, it doesn't look like his game is going to slow down any, at all, but
it's getting better.
But
it's
we know
weird.
That the body breaks down at a certain point. And I know 35 is not old, but playing at a high professional level, you know, there is a timetable on it. And we've seen
totally. I think he could change his game a bit.
Let's talk about
and still be serviceable, but yeah.
Let's talk about Ovechkin right now. I mean,
oh yeah,
talk about falling off a cliff.
My super sneaky draft pick this year in fantasy. Yeah, I'm seeing it firsthand. Of course, I kept it. He was the odd man out when I had more players than spots available last week, and of course, he puts one in the net for 8.8 points.
He has 9 goals through 44 games. That is,
it's kind of sad because, like, doesn't it kind of feel like he's not going to do it?
It absolutely feels like he's not going to do it. And if he's this way, so the only way I see him doing it at this point, I don't think that he's going to have more than 20 goals this year. I just don't with the way that it's going. But
he's
got
to leave.
But I think if he's hurt and he gets some off-season surgery or whatever, then he could come back and be fine if it's something that we don't know about, you know? So,
sure.
But at the same time, why are you wasting your health trying to score 10 more goals this year when you could get this surgery and come back stronger and better, you know? But he's 38 years old. I mean, that's...
I wonder what the Vegas... Like, I'm sure somewhere you can bet season goals, and I wonder what the line or, like, what the... How much money you would make if you bet that he won't hit 20.
Dude, if he doesn't hit 20, that'll be really sad.
So you're 8 games past the halfway point with 9 goals. He's on pace to miss 20.
Well, they've only played 44. So they're three games. Yeah. But still, like, I mean, he's halfway through the year and he doesn't even have 10 goals. That is so very unlike him. And he's played 44 games. It's not like there has been 44 and he's only played 27. You know, like, something is off with him for sure. Doesn't make any sense to me. You don't drop off a cliff like that with that type of scoring ability for so many years. So I just wonder
not
if...
To mention, he's just a freak. Like, right. And, like, he can score 1,000 different ways.
Right.
It's got to be... I don't know. It really... That one feels like an injury, but
that's
right.
What I'm saying.
And,
yeah,
and maybe it's not. Maybe it is Father Time, which is how we started this, you know?
He would just
maybe it is.
So crazy
it's
for him
weird.
To drop it off that much.
Like, it just feels like something's off. Because it feels like, you know, he could get 21 goals with one leg. Like, I just, like, it's...
In the last 2 years, he had 50 goals and then 42 goals. So if he
42
even had,
last season.
Right. If he even had, like, 31.
In part of 2023, he had 42 goals. I wonder how many of those happened in January, from January till they were bounced. Like,
right.
Crazy.
If he even had 31 this year, I'd at least be like, well, he's slowly going downhill. But I don't think that that's a... I don't see that as a possibility, honestly. But who knows?
Would you be absolutely shocked if he ever scored 35 goals again?
You mean like next year if he ends up getting back
there?
Next
year after, yeah.
Dude, with the way it's going right now.
Hypothetically with this, I guess he doesn't do it this year. Like, he doesn't reach 30. Maybe he gets to like 22. Maybe he gets to 25. I don't know. I'll be honest, I don't watch it close enough. I'm not watching him out there.
But I am
seeing the results, and they're poor.
I am looking at the stats, and in 2020, 2021, he played 45 games. He had 24 goals. We're not even close to that. Same amount of games, one game less. Not even close. So it's very clear that something is going on with him, whether it's an injury or, again, Father Time.
Father Time.
It will only become more apparent within the next year or so. You know, if he comes into next season and he has 9 goals again at the halfway point, we'll know that he's done.
Yeah.
So, I don't know. I don't know how we got off on this tangent here, but...
Well, it's just because we were talking about Marshawn, and, you know, is he going to run into Father Time like a brick wall?
Yeah,
because that's what it looks like, you know, is happening with Ovechkin. But I agree. It's I just can't believe that it's just time with him. It's there's got to be something off. I don't know. I don't know.
So one other thing before we move on from the Bruins here, I wanted to talk about because Marchand did. He is now sitting fifth all time in the Bruins points, I believe. Yep, he's sitting fifth all time. Ray Bourque is in first with 1,506. Actually, I think I wanted to look at goals. Yeah, Marchand is now in sole possession of fifth with 396 goals. That's what it was. He just passed Ray Bourque with 395, who is a defenseman, by the way. But Johnny Busick, 545 all-time goals, leader for the Boston Bruins, I think. Yeah.
396, 545?
545 all-time goals for the Bruins. David Pastrnak is at 334 already. He is just barely in his prime right now. I think that he scores 600 plus.
I hope in black and gold, but yeah, career wise, of course.
Yeah.
I think there's a world where David couldn't flirt with Ovechkin numbers. I really do. Because as you've just mentioned, he's entering his prime. I think at most you could call him 2 years into it. And he's already done this much damage. And I really don't think that we've seen the best version of David Pastrnak yet. There's a lot to his game that is, I think, could get tightened up and he could be even better. This is not a critique. This is just an observation that I think David Pastrnak, we don't know the full capacity of his talent yet.
My guess is he will end up somewhere in the 700 range. I don't know, like somewhere in the 700s. I don't know that he'll get to 800 plus. Like that's a ton.
Well, but would you rule it out?
I don't know. I suppose it depends on how long he plays for.
Yeah.
And all that because it's a long, long way to go. He needs to double his production just to get to 700 and something. So, I don't know. I mean, if he scores 60 goals a year.
He's got more opportunity on this team. Yeah. And he's got a lot of years under contract with this team. And he's maybe got 12 more years of play in him, you know?
Yeah. I hope so. I love watching him play. I hope that he stays here for his whole career. He's a player that you never want to see go. Not just because he can score goals, but it's like he's such a fun player to care about. You know, like there's so many players in the league that are boring and nobody cares about them, or they like aren't fun to see in interviews or commercials or any of that stuff. And like if you have a guy with so much personality and Pasta that, you know, you never want, he's obviously a fan favorite here, of course, but you never want to see a guy like that go. But you also never thought that they'd trade a guy like Joe Thornton or so, you know, things like that. So things happen. It's cutthroat business, but we'll see. I hope it's always in black and gold.
Yeah, me too. Me too. Yeah, both those guys I would love to never see anywhere else.
Yeah,
I don't know. Carolina loss sucked, but other than that, I can't complain.
Quick update on the Lucic situation. Have you been following that at all?
No, pretty kind of making it a point not to, but
so he had a virtual, they ended up giving him a Zoom hearing, I think it was last week. And now he has a court date in February for the actual, like, to figure out what is going to happen, whether he's guilty or not guilty. Like this is the real deal. Court date in February. I don't know how this works. I have heard that his locker is still full in the locker room, all of his gear and everything, because technically right now he's in the player protocol, you know, whatever it is. I suppose it's until he is found guilty, then he is still a part of the team. He's on long-term IR as far as I know. Or whatever it is. I don't know if it's technically IR because he's not injured anymore. Or he was. But either way.
He was during it, I think.
Yeah, so I don't know how that works, but if he's found not guilty, you see him coming back to this team?
Yeah, I do.
And do you want him to come back to this team?
I don't know. I don't have a... Who's pressing charges? The state or his wife?
So that's a good question that I suppose I should get some more information on before I start saying. So maybe I'll get an update on that and we'll talk about it on the next episode. But
let's say hypothetically it's the state.
Yeah.
And his wife doesn't want this to happen. Yeah, I want him back on the team. Of course. If his wife is doing it, I would need the court of law to find him not guilty to have any sort of opinion, positive opinion about him rejoining the team.
Yeah.
I know it's a very conflicted situation. No one knows. No one was there. It looks horrible. He's shirtless in his mugshot. He looks pretty banged up. You know, we know through people we know that our boy likes to drink, which is not, you know, something unfounded amongst professional players.
Yeah, if any sport.
I love Milan Lucic. I really do. I hate what this is. I would love for him to come out of it as, like, you know, something weird happened, but the optics are bad. I think him coming back would always look bad, but ultimately I want to trust that this organization is only letting him back into the locker room, knowing that, you know, believing that, you know, this is just a whatever it was, and that it doesn't define him, it isn't who he is, and that everyone's safe and sound and happy. Yeah. But it's a distraction, I think, either way, you know, because you're going to have, because anyone who's in front of microphones is going to be asked about it, you know, beyond your captain. Anyone who's, oh, he's back, how's that? You know, I mean, our goalies are on podcasts all the time now. It's going to be a distraction if it happens. It feels a lot less stupid than having, like, a very racist guy who made fun of, like, a mentally handicapped kid.
Yeah.
Yeah. It feels less distracting than that. But, you know, obviously that shouldn't be the bar. I don't know. I'm super conflicted. I haven't looked into it. I haven't looked into any of it. I've ignored it. It made me sick. The mugshot made me sick. And I just hoped it was some sort of misunderstanding. I just really do believe you never know with these situations as outsiders, and that the Bruins would do the right thing whether he comes back or not.
You know what I love, and I think this goes back to what we were just talking about recently of guys like Krejci and Bergeron and Chara specifically, and let's go back even further than that. Let's talk about Andrew Ferentz and Sean Thornton.
Sean Thornton, yeah,
they really did a lot to build the locker room here, and it has continued, because I think that when all of this went down, Marchand did a very, very good job of saying what needed to be said when he was asked about this. You know, we love everyone involved. We love his family. We love his kids, yeah, and him.
And they know them well.
Right.
Like, this is not like he's known his kids since they were literal infants.
Exactly.
Like,
so they're
before,
like,
before they existed, and he knew the wife since before they existed. Like,
we want everyone to be safe and make sure that everything is taken seriously and that everything is figured out how it should be. And I think that goes beyond Marchand too, because you have guys who learned from Chara and all these other guys on how to sort of conduct yourself as a team player and as a Boston Bruin. Guys like McAvoy and Carlo, who are very good at talking to the media as well. You know, so I think that there are certain players around the league that you wouldn't want talking to the media about touchy subjects, because you never know what they're going to say. But I think that what they've built in the locker room here over the years that has continued has made it easier for players to talk to the media and not be concerned about what they're going to say to the media. Everybody is it feels like, and when you listen to guys like Recky come in and talk about, like, this is the best group I've ever had, it's like there really is something special and something important about being on this team and what they built and keeping that and maintaining what they've had over the years. And guys like McAvoy take that very seriously, and obviously Marchand as well. And I don't know. I mean, you hear horror stories around the league of, like, super toxic locker rooms and things like that, and I don't really ever feel like we've had that problem. And that even when the stuff happened last year when they signed that kid, it wasn't, it was handled.
That never touched the NHL locker room.
No, but it was handled very well by the guys in that locker room.
Yes.
So it just goes to show you that situations like this, whether they're serious or even if they were less serious, are always handled very well by these guys. And like, as a fan, that's something you want to see, because it's like, I can justify liking these guys, you know?
Yeah, no. And you know, that was kind of part of the annoying part for me last year, is just that, it was annoying to me that they had to answer those questions, but they did it incredibly well. They're so, I don't want to say they're media trained. I want to just say they get it. Like
they're good people.
I want to say they understand it. They know how to talk. They know how to represent, and they get it. Like, cause last year was something they should have never had to do. I still think it's a stain. It's a stain that's gone, you know, it's been washed off and forgotten about a little bit at this point, but it's a stain on, I'll never understand what the front office was doing with that signing. That'll never make sense to me, and I'll never stand by it. But, you know, after they made the stupid foot and mouth move, it was handled well. And just the players, the way they commented on that was just phenomenal. And it's just like no notes. Because, you know, you still have to straddle something. You can't be like, you can't say about the guy who hired you and who's directly involved with how much you get paid, what the fuck was that guy doing? Like, you can't do that.
Yeah.
Like, you cannot do that. So I defer to the team here, and the players, and you know, the victim, and to Lucic himself. The hasn't cleared out his locker room part is interesting to me, but not surprising at all.
I mean, it has to be, because he's in the player say or whatever it is. I don't even know. I keep saying that, but he's in the
association?
Yeah, whatever he's in.
Yeah, maybe it's a legal thing. Yeah. I mean, you know, they never cut him. I think that the locker room gets cleared out when he gets cut.
Right.
And, I don't know. My hope that is the way that they've handled it is it's going to look much worse than it is, but they're leaning due process, and I think that's the best thing you can do as an organization.
Yeah.
I'd be interested in the league's outlook on it.
I forget the exact date, but it'll be interesting in February for sure.
Yeah. I don't think Milan Lucic is going to harm this locker room outside of whatever this ordeal was. You know, I don't think him coming back even as a healthy scratch every night is a bad thing. He's a veteran guy. I like, that's why I liked it this year. I didn't think that we'd get some amazing stuff out of him this year in terms of play on the ice, but I liked the head in the locker room. I'm not going to be mad about that coming back in, so long as the talk about it can kind of fade away if he does return.
Yeah. Yeah, that's going to be the other interesting thing, but I don't know. We'll see.
Yeah, I defer to them, and I want to believe that they're going to do the right thing, because even when they did the wrong thing, I feel like they handled it correctly.
Yeah.
So.
Well, at the beginning of this, right before we were recording here, we were waiting for the Celtics game to end, and I was a little bit concerned at one point,
buddy,
that we were going to be having a rough night, because was it home tonight? I didn't actually – I was just checking the score. I wasn't able to watch the game.
Yes, it was. Mike Gorman mixing up some names here. It's getting a little sad over there. I'm glad we get a Gorman reunion tour, but –
Well, for a minute there,
relax.
I thought the Celtics were going to lose three straight at home.
Yeah.
When I kept looking at the score.
Yeah, it felt like that. It looked like that, and I'm not too happy about any of that.
Well, I was going to ask you, like, they won tonight, of course, but, like, do you feel like we're slumping a bit right now?
Totally. I've said it before, and I think it's just kind of clear again. This team is a much different team without Kristaps Porzingis. I'm not worried about his ankle roll. Anyone who is worried about his ankle roll, I think, is a little paranoid, and that's fine. Even he himself was like, this is not a big deal. I don't think he really says that if it is a big deal. You know, we've seen this guy go down a lot. He's not going to lie to you. He was hoping to get in that Clippers game. Good God, could we have used him? I think it's kind of a miracle that we even finished that game down 19. We were down as much as 30 plus, almost 40 at some points.
Real quick, because we're on topic here, I did get a DM from Badger the other night. Saturday afternoon, when Porzingis was out for that game. And it was just a screenshot, and it said, Chris asked, Porzingis left ankle sprain out. And the only text that I got from him was, yeah, but Badger doesn't know what he's talking about.
I'm not even going to entertain it.
So,
not even going to entertain it. He rolled his ankle. I don't know. It's just like he didn't break it.
Happens in basketball.
Maybe I'm at this point where I'm drinking the Kool-Aid and Badger's right the whole time. But right now, I think he probably could have played against the Clippers. I think he's probably good to go against the Pelicans. And I think we probably won't see him again until, you know, I don't think we're going to see him against Indy. We got a nice, we're in the midst, we're two games into a six-game homestand with the Pacers, the Lakers, the Grizzlies, and Atlanta. And there's really no need for him to play in any of those games. I'm sorry. Let's do math a little better. 7-game homestand, and then Washington finally, and then we go to Miami. I'd love to see him back in that Miami game.
When is that? When does that homestand start?
We're two games into it. It started on the 27th.
Dude, the Bruins, as soon as they come back from the All-Star break, have a 7-game homestand as well.
So that start, when are they back?
They're back next Tuesday, the 6th. Okay.
So the Garden Crew is going to be busy.
Yeah,
the 6th through the 6th or the 9th, they'll be fine. So they're in the midst of that homestand now. Obviously, horrendous loss to the Clippers. Was really looking forward to that game as the guy who went to the Clippers game out here, and they didn't have Kawhi, and I wanted to see how he sized up a little better, even without Kristaps Porzingis. I was hoping we'd kind of hold a candle in that match. We got smoked, absolutely smoked. No one showed up. Everyone looked like they were hungover. And then tonight just came out so slow, quickly down 10 points in the first quarter, struggled to get it back, chipped it, 10-point lead at halftime, chipped it down to 6 at the end of the third despite cutting it to 2, and then finally turned the Jets on in the fourth. Here's my other bit that I did a little preview of earlier on. Derek White's an all-star. I don't know who needs to hear it to understand it. I don't know why there's an argument that plus minus in the league should mean nothing. And by the way, our guy, Derek White, number one in plus minus in the league.
Dude, they don't care about it in hockey either, which I always never understand. It's like in both sports.
Why are we following this?
It's such an important stat.
It's in the ESPN like stat line.
Yeah.
Like it's a part of basic stats.
Right.
I just think, especially with a two-way player, and especially in hockey where you're expected to play both sides, like, you know, You got to play defense no matter what position you're in. I don't get the argument that it's irrelevant. Obviously, you know, we're not analytics guys. We're not even professionals. We're just guys with opinions. I don't know. I just think it's a silly argument. But regardless of that, Derek White, all-star.
Yeah.
Leading guards in blocks, top 10 in blocks per game.
So is he not going to make it? Off.
I don't know. I don't know. The reserves thing is kind of bewildered to me. I think the popular vote's more for the starters. Shout out to Jason Tatum being an all-star starter again this year. I think Brown's a shoe-in. This is the best Jaylen Brown year we've ever seen. He's already been an all-star. Also, I wanted to shout out how awesome it is that everyone has had to shut the fuck up about Jaylen Brown. That's my guy. That is my guy. And I stayed true the whole damn time.
So, at the end of the game, you got one shot left. Who are you giving the ball to take that shot?
Right now, anyone but Jason Tatum. I'd say the last few weeks, I'm giving it to Drew Holiday. I really love the offense that's come out of Drew. I think we don't understand what Drew can bring to this team. If you listen to other basketball podcasts, I don't mean to quote the great Zach Lowe, but him and Simmons did a great podcast a couple weeks ago where they talked about how You know, Drew Holiday is a guy who can drop 30 for you in a playoff game, and he will. And he will do that this year. Like, he is a guy who can go off for 30 on top of everything that he does, on top of being the Marcus Smart off the stat sheet kind of difference maker in a game. That's the other part. People want to talk about these difference makers guys, but they get bummed out when you want to bring up plus minus. It's like, isn't that the one stat that they're accounting for then? Yeah. There? I don't get it. But, I don't know. Ball Derek's my guy. He deserves to be there. Drew Holiday was kind of a quiet start, but he's been playing like an all-star recently. Kristaps, you know, maybe he sat too much, which again, I'm quite all right with Badger. But you know, we'll see. We'll see. It's good. I don't like our bench, I'll be honest. Or I don't like who we play off our bench. I want to see some other guys get some more minutes. I want to see some more Brissett minutes. I'd take some more Lamar Stevens minutes. I watch that guy on other teams. Excuse me. He can play. But I'm getting a little, I don't know. Pritchard's a little bit of a liability in ways. I know he's kind of caught up with scoring and everything, but I think we need a big guard. But I'm going to officially say it. I don't need another big man. I don't think we do. We need healthy Kristaps. Luke Kornet's the guy. And Keita can play, man. Nemeas Keita, I hope, has a long, long, long time in green, because I think that dude's going to be a dog, and he can be a starter someday in this league. I really believe that he could be, but I think he's a certified, solid backup center.
Love it. I love having the depth. That's
something, yeah. Let's get a little deeper. Let's get another, like, you know, guard wing, another 2-3, and let's go. I'm in. But yeah, hated that Clippers game. It was sick. I truly, there was so much good basketball on Saturday, and I had numerous screens going, as I tend to do, and I couldn't justify keeping the Celtics as one of them. I had to shut them off. That was
wow.
No one showed up.
One last thing here before we wrap up this episode. I want to read you an interesting stat about Joel Embiid.
Okay.
So obviously dropped how many points the other day?
70
points. And he is
in 38 minutes.
Obviously top of the list for MVP, right? I mean, just or you know, up there,
he's
at
up
the
there.
Very top of
the he's in the three. Yeah.
Sure. So he is required now to play 32 of Philly's final 37 games in order to be eligible to even be considered to be an MVP. So if he misses five
That's
more
crazy.
Games, because he's already missed 12, if he misses five more games, he's ineligible to even, no matter what his stats are.
So you can only miss 17 games total?
That's what it's sounding like.
Is what you're saying to me? Huh. I don't know if this is new or what this is, but I don't hate it.
It says,
I hate when the MVP is given to a guy who played 60 games.
Players are required to play in a minimum of 65 games.
I think that's correct, first of all. He had a legitimate injury. I was disgusted that he didn't play in Denver. There's another tweet going around that lists players like Manu Ginobili and Kevin Garnett, and like half the list retired in 2016. And you know, and like, it's just like a lot of outlandish guys, and all of them have played more games in Denver than Joel Embiid has played. I've heard some deep conspiracy that are positive in his nature that are saying the reason he doesn't play is because he doesn't do good in altitude. Maybe he's got injuries and blah, 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 blah. The bottom line is that he has not played in Joker's house since him and Joker have been the faces of the league. And I'm sorry, we're on year four of that. And I think that's lame.
Yeah.
And they didn't announce this one until right before. And I was disgusted. That was one of the other screens I had going during that Celtics-Clippers game. And I thought I was going to fully switch over. And that game kept my attention because Pat Bev decided to have a double-double. And shout out to Pat Bev. They had no one. Here's the thing that's really scary about the Sixers. And it has nothing to do with the MVP race. And to be honest, I don't think Embiid cares if he wins or loses. When Joker came and played in Philly just a couple weeks ago, where the Sixers pulled it out and beat them, Embiid hugged Jokic after, and the sideline reporter was like, "What did you say to him?" And he was like, "I just told him he's the best guy in the league, and it's so fun to play against him." Like, and let's call a spade a spade. He is. I will say something else that I've said to my Philly fans that I think is going to make most listeners sick. I think that Joel Embiid is the most impressive basketball player of all time.
What, dude?
Yeah.
Oh, my God. I can tell you, I was not ready for that, and I was not expecting that.
I think he is the most impressive skill set for a guy who picked up a basketball at the age of 17, 12 years ago, and he's already on all these all-time lists. He's an MVP player, and he's a seven-footer who can hit jump shots from anywhere on the court. It's impressive, man. He shoots just as well as guys who have – he shoots better than guys who have had a basketball in their hands since they were seven, since they were four. It's what Joel Embiid – I'm not saying he's the greatest of all time, but what he's done with the smaller amount of time, Andrew, is literally holding his head in disgust from me right now. What he's done in this amount of time is the most impressive thing I think I've ever seen in a career.
Okay.
But he does that with sitting out a lot.
I don't even know what to say. Like, I'm not – I know you're not saying he's the greatest basketball player of all
time. He's not even – to me, he's not in my top 10.
Right, I understand.
It's the most impressive thing I've ever seen. To be that relevant, to get to MVP, to stay MVP conversation-wise. And by the way, to sum up your thing, yeah, he shouldn't be considered after 17 games out. I think that's fully – especially with how good so many people are. And – you know, maybe it's something to say. Maybe I'm taking out the legs of my own argument a bit here. Maybe it's something to say about how impressive he is with a lot of rest. But I just think it's incredible that this guy didn't really even touch a basketball before he was 17 years old.
All right, dude. Well, you and I have birthdays coming up in a couple months or a few months here, so I know what I'll be getting you is a Joel Embiid jersey.
Oh, God. I'll burn it. He's a villain. I hate him, but I love hating him. It's great.
Man, that was a wild take that I did not see coming.
It's impressive. I know. I can't believe I put it on the podcast, but I already told my Philly fan friends, and I feel like that's honestly more gross. I'm just really impressed with the guy. But, yeah, and by the way, there's no shot he doesn't miss five more games.
Yeah, 100%.
He sat out against Portland tonight. There's no way.
And that's the thing is,
what this does introduce is we might see some weird things where he checks in for a minute and sits down.
He has to play a minimum of 20 minutes per game in order to consider it a game played.
Oh, good, good. I'm glad we can't even entertain that bullshit then. Great.
No. But listen, it also
he's not in my top 10. He might be in my top 20. I've never done a top 20, and he's not in my top 20 now, but he might be at the end of the day. But what he's done is so impressive. Given
it'll
where
also
he
go
came
to
from and what he did,
it'll go to show you that if he ends up missing four games for the rest of the season, that he was just missing games to miss games, or because he didn't want to play somewhere or whatever.
I know he had one like semi legit injury earlier, but that's crazy. He's up to 12 games already.
Yeah,
it's a lot.
Yeah,
and I think he should be out of the conversation. Probably Jokic's award to lose again this year, but Shai Gilgeous-Alexander is making quite a case for himself. Tatum, just get on fire down the stretch. Why not?
Well,
best player on the best team. It's a good argument.
You heard it here, folks. I think that we have to wrap up this episode. Tim says he would not give Tatum the ball in a clutch situation because he thinks he's a bad basketball player. He thinks that Joel Embiid is the greatest basketball player to ever live and to ever touch a basketball at the age of 17 years old. And I don't think I know him anymore.
I
thought that we were on the same page here. I thought that we were doing this podcast because we, you know, liked the same things, but clearly we don't. And he's an undercover Philly fan, and he has been for some time. I don't know what to do anymore. So I'm going to need to take some time to think about what I just learned today about my friend here. And hopefully next week we'll have a new episode for you guys talking about Boston sports and not talking about Philly sports. But
oh my God,
hard to say. We'll see.
Shout out to Mark Recchi being inducted into the Flyers Hall of Fame.
Good for him.
Yeah, good for him. Man, screw you. Hold on. I had something else to say but when you brought this up. It was, I don't know, it's gone now. They painted me as an Embiid fan.
As when I pulled out your true colors.
I hate him. I hate him. I love hating him, though. And what he's done is impressive. Yeah, I don't know, man. I hope Joe keeps calling timeouts. That's about all I got.
Well, there's only one thing left to do.
Can't go to stretch.
Yep.
Sue you for libel, bro. What the fuck?
I'm lawyering up.
Lawyer up, brother.